What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Friday night, y'all. SmackDown time. Welcome to the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Glenn Rubenstein, joined by Flobo Boyce. And tonight, George Hermosa making his Wrestling Inc. podcast debut. George, welcome to the show.
Second show ever.
SmackDown debut. SmackDown. Jay Cargill debut. Yeah.
There we go. You know, we'll just call them all. First time ever.
Yeah.
Once in a lifetime.
It's my first time also, so it works out.
Once in a lifetime.
Yeah. Okay, so we're here tonight, SmackDown, on the road to WrestleMania. Man, that ending. We got a lot to talk about, but that last segment, 15 minutes of entrances, 15 minutes of content. I don't know if that was timed correctly. They tried something new, more power to them. But yeah, we'll have some thoughts. Some feelings. Final Testament, how's that going? All that and more on tonight's Wrestling Inc. And again, I love Karrion Kross and Scarlett. They're the nicest people. Please, Kross, cut your hair and you will get your power back.
My God.
Reverse Samson. Reverse Samson.
I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yes. Reverse Samson. Okay. So, Flobo, what's going on in the news?
I disagree. Those who have hair have an obligation to grow it out. I'm just bald. let's talk about it. The big story this week is more developments in the whole Jack Perry and CM Punk situation. As you know, we haven't seen Jack Perry since last August. And the world's like, oh, where's Jack Perry at? Well, Dave Meltzer came out and said that he was motioned to apologize for his actions backstage, but Jack made a point to come out this week and say that wasn't the case. Hands down, there's nothing really for Jack Perry right now. And even though he hasn't spoken to TK in months, he knows that he can still have a lot in the tank. If it's not with AEW, it means to be seen. Jack Perry, y'all.
So he's got permission, though, to be doing this stuff with New Japan, though, right?
He does, because he's on contract, but it's kind of like a guy on my site situation.
I think this is all a work, because this is a good way to reintroduce him, build up the simmering tension. And then it will come to a boil when he comes back to AEW if he can get some spark out of this, you know?
He needs to come back and be with the Young Bucks. I think that'd be great.
Ooh, spicy take.
Yeah, something. But I think the scapegoat thing, I mean, it all feels a little too orchestrated for my taste. You know what I mean? Because, okay, in what real situation? Like this, okay, if this was baseball, right? Oh, you screwed up, you got a fight. We're sending you the Toledo Mud Hens. You're going to play in the minor leagues. That happens. Mm-hmm. But in professional wrestling, when have we ever heard a story before where you're under contract and you go work in Japan when you're under contract to an American company, like, and start doing this character work? I don't know. It just feels like a little masterminded.
I don't know. What would be the end game? I mean, it wasn't like Jack Perry was a huge star when this happened. It wasn't like it was a Jericho doing this. I mean, Jack Perry was still trying to figure who the heck he was.
Yeah,
no one wins.
Well, he was trying to go from Jungle Boy to Jungle Man. Yes. Jungle Boys to Men. That's good. Ooh, and they do drum and bass. Yeah, that worked. That'd be good.
Okay.
Yeah, but like 90s drum and bass and house music. So the potential there. But no,
I think old school guy. I love it.
He was trying to figure out where he fit. The stuff with Luchasaurus was good. When JR kept calling him Jungle Boy Jack Perry, you knew that there was a little bit of a rebrand going on. I don't know, the scapegoat thing, all of it, like, if this is organic, more power to him for trying to make his own way and make his own heat, his own story. But this feels a little like, oh, this is going to be a clever way to bring him back in and have a redemption arc.
I think what the problem with already with some of the stories that we saw today is that there are stories that we are seeing today. There's a lot of, every time one of these stories come out, it kind of feels like, okay, so who's feeding the dirt sheets, right? Like, it's very like, that's what I like to kind of play when I see these kind of things, because I can care less. Sorry, everybody. I can care less what Meltzer says as far as his opinion and whatnot, because we all got opinions. Like, what makes his opinion a lot more valuable than what ours is? We should be the ones that have the headlines, you know, thrown out there, right? It should be like, Flobo Boyce thinks that Jack Perry, or, you know, Glenn Rubenstein thinks that Jungle Boy this, whatever. You know, that should be whatever. I'm just ranting. But for the most part, like, yeah, like, I kind of dug it when there wasn't all this news coming out. Like, I kind of just kind of let it be, right? Like, Jungle Boy coming out, Jack Perry coming out to New Japan. That was kind of cool the first time it happened, and it should have kind of just kept it going. It kind of left us wondering, like, is he still with AEW? Is he not? Is he on?
Yeah.
Is he able to go? Now you have all these things like, oh, he asked for permission. He apologized. Like, who cares about all that stuff? You know, like, I mean, I personally don't care. I think it just kind of, getting a story out there for the sake of a story kind of feels like it's a slow news day in some to some people, maybe. But I mean, it's fine for what it is. But I think some of the stories coming out kind of ruins it a little bit.
No, I agree. What if they do a reverse MJF devil thing where his re-AEW debut is in kayfabe? He's like, Tony Khan won't answer my calls. So he basically like forces himself into Dynamite or Rampage, or some way that he comes back in and it is that sort of outsider angle. I don't know. I think
that'd be great. Yeah. I think that'd be great, especially with kind of the Young Bucks being a little bit more on the exec side now, kind of like saying Tony wouldn't return my calls, but guess who did? Matthew and Nicholas did. Mm-hmm. I just think that'd be a great way. Bucks are already getting some great heel heat. You know, it's kind of weird because it's like you have all the AEW fans turning on Punk when he went to WWE, but then they're booing the Bucks. Even though and did boo Jack Perry, even though, you know, that whole thing happened. So, you know, it's kind of interesting, and it'd be kind of funny to see that as well. But it's a perfect, I mean, obviously subjective, but it's perfect way to just kind of bring him back in, kind of saying like, Tony Khan, F you, I got the Bucks to back me out now.
And you know what the money line is? He's like, Tony Khan, you ignored me. And I figure Okada, Ospreay, well, I had to go work New Japan because that's the only thing that gets your attention.
Ooh, that's super meta. That is the IWC's IWC right there. Yeah. 7 stars.
What else is going on?
WrestleMania weekend is officially getting bigger. Of course, you got the Hall of Fame, you got Stand and Deliver, and the Showcase of the Immortals, but the Slammies are making their return Sunday of WrestleMania right before Night 2. The Classic Awards ceremony from all different categories will probably be up for more display in the days to come, but there's going to be a lot of fisticuffs, a lot of shenanigans, and a lot of ways to say thank you for your service in and outside the ring for so many different categories. The Slammies are back in 2024.
I like it. I dig it. I've always been a big Slammies fan. I remember the first time that I saw it was back in 1996 when they had that special on the USA Network kind of around WrestleMania weekend. So I kind of like that they brought it back around this time of year as well. I know back in the day, it was always at the end of the year, part of Monday Night Raw, which I still like. I was never anti-Slammy. But now it's just something else to add on to WrestleMania weekend. And agreed. I no complaints from me.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It's going to be a fun WrestleMania week and weekend. So
it'll be all good. Right. Now, you know what? Maybe I'm not anti-slammy, right? But now you announce this now? I mean, look, the end of year awards at NXT makes sense. But you're just going to say, oh, by the way, we have an award show. You ever heard about it? Coming out in a week and a half? I need time. I need to know what the judging period is. I want to.
Yeah, who's voting on this?
Yeah.
I will say at first, I thought it was going to be the judging period between Mania 39 and Mania 40. But then you have like one of the matches of the year is Sami Zayn versus Roman Reigns from last year's Elimination Chamber. So it's like clearly, I don't know, there's a little wiggle room, but maybe they're just making up for lost time. But, you know, I think Flobo just complaining just to complain.
That's also true. But let me know. I need directions.
Welcome back, Slammies. What else is going on?
That's pretty much it from the news things that we were told to talk about by our producers. But okay. It's also WrestleMania season. I don't know if you guys want to go into Philly. I know I'm not, but I would love to go.
I'd love to go as well.
I've been there.
I've been to the airport.
Okay.
That does not count.
Sue, let's talk about SmackDown tonight. We opened with people arriving, people backstage. Nice build up. I like how they're producing this. SmackDown's done variations on this before, but I like that they kind of gave that big fight feel to the show tonight with the opening.
I agree. I liked it when they do it with the NBA and the UFC, and I like it when they do it with the WWE.
Yeah. In fact, most of the stuff they've tried have been working, which is why I think some of that stuff in that last segment was sort of a rare miss. We'll talk about that. Production's been great though, and we started tonight with Santos Escobar versus Rey Mysterio. And this is interesting because, you know, if you would have said even a month ago, I think we talked about this very podcast, Flobo, we said this seems like a Mania type match with the LWO versus Legado. Maybe that's the direction they take it back in. You know,
yeah, I'm torn with this one because on paper it's like, oh man, this has been building for months, it makes sense. The United States Championship was are in the mix for a bit. Why not put Mysterio and Santos Escobar in the next pay-per-view? But then it's WrestleMania, you're like, well, is this a WrestleMania caliber stuff? I guess because it's main Mysterio, but then I understand why it's getting squeezed at the same time. So I'm torn. I think it's deserving of Mania, but maybe there's a spot for something crazy happening there.
I definitely thought they were building to some kind of like mask versus hair. Santos Escobar's got some beautiful hair, which would make sense on why, you know, the mask versus hair. But I tweeted it. I do feel like they're going to build toward like a multi-man, maybe a multi-person, throwing in, you know, Rey, Carlito, LWO, and Zelina up against Legado. And now we see Dominic. And so maybe that it can either be like, yeah, so we can either have an 8-person to 10-man or 8-man or a 10-person tag, but either way, I'm all for it.
Although doesn't that seem okay? I mean, just real talk here for a second.
Real talk.
Like, if they put all of their Latino stars in the like, if Andrade, like Beer Money saying Santos Dominic versus Rey Andrade, I mean that. Like, I think if it becomes that multi-man, I don't know. I wish they were just giving some fresh mashups and fresh challenges. Instead, it's always like, well, they work a lucha style, so these guys have to be in a match against each other.
I think a lot of it comes from NXT's fatigue, too, right? With the Los Lobos Locos. Shout out to Issa, y'all. But I'm with you. You know, here's Dominic where, yeah, I know he hates his dad, but him coming out tonight was like, I thought you moved past this.
Bro. Yeah, I thought we were done with this.
You got things to do, like some days to judge. I have no idea why he's out here, but if you're going there, it's not a bad idea. It seems very like a retread.
Yeah. It just seems interesting that that's where they're going. But I like the thing with Dominic showing up in the mask. Like, I always pop for that. I always pop for like the fake luchador. I thought with Ray, that was good. But yeah, Dominic essentially causing the distraction, allowing Santos to get the win. Like, it felt a little fresh, but it's like, oh yeah, they are going back in this direction.
Mm-hmm. I know some people, I even saw it in the chat, kind of saying like a father-son Mania. I'm like, we saw it last year already. We're already seeing one rematch on Mania. We're not going to see it again. But it does kind of throw Dominic in the mix. He was kind of a little bit of the odd person out, especially with Finn Balor and Damian Priest in the tag team letter match. You have Rhea in the matchup against Who's she? Oh, Becky Lynch. So I feel like with all the good things that Dominic has been doing in the last year, he does deserve a WrestleMania match. I know Triple H has said in the past, we're not really going to try to jam everybody in the WrestleMania card just for sake of it. We're going to give it to the people that maybe deserve it throughout the year. And I think by all means, Dominic does deserve to have a WrestleMania match.
Well, but then with Judgment Day, what does this mean for JD McDonagh?
Ooh, totally forgot about him.
The odd man out.
Everyone else does, yeah.
Everyone else in Judgment Day has a Mania moment, except poor JD. Mm-hmm. His initials are Judgment Day.
I mean, he can't even
get a match.
Hiding in plain sight, yeah.
I would predict he's going to have some kind of ladder match moment that maybe take him out of the match that maybe would cause, you know, them to lose. But, yeah, I totally forgot about him. Sorry. Sorry, JD.
Damn. Yeah.
It'll be interesting. But it's what's crazy with Dominic, though, and I get why they want to add him to this, because he is, like, one of the biggest deals in the company. He's proven that he's his own man. He's forged his own identity. He's so despised by wrestling audiences. It's almost a thing of beauty. And they can't keep him with Rhea because she's kind of straddling the line between heel and face. So yeah, I guess this makes sense, putting him back into drama with Rey.
My only theory is that I really think there's a corporate sit down writer's room thing going. We have to give the crown, the next generation Lucha, to somebody. It's almost like when Superman died. Like, who is a real Superman? Is it going to be Dragon Lee? Is it going to be Axiom?
Is it going to be Steel?
Is it going to be Eradicator? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's what it is. I think we put everyone in a match because they can see for real, because Dominic has the reaction, but he doesn't have the moveset. Santos has the body and the lineage, but he doesn't have the charisma. Axiom has the speed and power, but he doesn't have a voice. So it's like, who do you want to pick? And I think that's kind of what it is. A giant mess.
This is why I'm bummed we don't have the network anymore. And for Peacock, they don't put in the same effort, but they could do the search for the next Rey Mysterio. That Rey's going to pass.
Give me your mask.
Oh, yeah, man. He's
gonna... That'd be fun. That would be fun and interesting.
Yeah, that would be amazing. The full, if that was the match where it was just like, you inherit, you're the next Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio Jr. 2.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Dominic has his first feud because he's like, that was my birthright. Like, this could be amazing.
Awful. You know? It's scripts. Scripts wins it all.
Yeah, oh, that God. Would be incredible. And he has to bring back the voice changer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be so good. Man. I don't know. We gotta figure something out, though. But this, I mean, look, LWO was on fire a year ago. Legado, I still don't think is really, I think Santos is doing well, but Legado as a faction has not even reached anywhere near that level of where LWO was over the better part of the last year. Like, they got to figure something out. And
Bad Bunny.
Yeah, that was hot. But what, so I'm not, I was up on Raw lately. What are their plans for Andrade? Have we seen?
He's just been auditioning, like, hey, remember me? Business, backstage, next week. We'll talk about it.
Pretty much. There's really nothing more to it.
Yeah.
They should throw everyone for a curve, and he can join the Profits and Lashley.
Ooh.
Wow.
And he could say, like, I'm here to take you down, Ellering. It's you and me, old man.
Wow. That, talk about a swerve. No one saw that coming.
Wouldn't that be amazing? Okay, so good first match, though. Look, these guys got a good chance to showcase stuff before that distraction. I thought the distraction was well presented, but we went from that into Bayley backstage thanking Naomi, and Bianca ain't buying it, given her grief about how Damage Control treated her, which was kind of cool. What do you think? I mean, George, what do you think about, like, Bianca being the smart baby face here that doesn't trust Bayley?
I love this because it is adding this common sense and logic to wrestling that maybe was overlooked for a very long time. Because it's like, why should she be up? Why should she be all, you know, lovey-dovey with Bayley? Like, Bayley and Damage Control did so much damage, no pun intended, to the SmackDown
you meant
women's
that pun.
Roster.
You so meant that pun. I swear
maybe,
God,
you maybe meant that. Yeah, you know, they did do a lot of wreckage to the SmackDown women's roster, and like, there's no reason. And Naomi wasn't there. If anything, like, she was already gone by the time that Damage Control was put together. So she has no idea. I mean, she probably, you know, watched or whatever, but, you know, just by being there, like, she has no firsthand experience from all the wreckage that Damage Control was doing onto the SmackDown Women's roster. So by all means, like, she has no idea. And just kind of have these conversations, like, out in the open, like, I think it makes perfect sense. And, you know, I love these kind of backstage segments where they add on, you know, kind of like a history, not just forgetting the past, but really acknowledging everything that's happened in the last 2 years.
Yeah, same boat. I like conflicts where you can see both sides, and it doesn't happen all the time, and you shouldn't happen to have all the time. There really should be scenes where people are clear-cut right and wrong, but when that happens, you go, yeah, you're right. Bianca doesn't trust Bayley. Why should she? And Naomi is more open because she was a TNA champion and no one cared about her before.
And it's not even about trusting. It's not even about Bianca not trusting Bayley. It's about what she did. Like, it's like, oh, I trust you. I trust what you're doing, but I'm not going to just forgive you just like that because all of a sudden you're a good person now, right? Like, it just makes total sense on like, it's not even just being stubborn or saying anything like that. It's just like, hey, like, what? Am I just supposed to just forget, let everything happen? Like, absolutely not. So I like that. And I'm sure they're going to make a note of it next week where it's like when Bianca came out during the match, it was Bianca not, you know, she still got beef with them and she's coming out more so for Naomi. That has nothing to do with Bayley, and I'm sure they're going to acknowledge that next week.
Yeah. Well, Flobo, did you put money down on the OC beating Grayson Waller and Austin Theory tonight?
Oh, man, they already won this week. So I was like, two in a row? That never happens. I'm a smart man, Glenn. That's yikes. What just happened? The OC used to be a thing. Now they're not, man.
I love the OC. I think, though, yeah, they weren't winning this match. I think they're going to probably do something and Stand and Deliver. But, yeah. Like, it was pretty obvious. This was Austin Theory and Grayson Waller's win tonight.
What happened to Cedric and Ashante? Weren't they supposed to be a team?
Stop. Stop making up people who don't exist. Stop. Stop doing that. What kind of random name generator was that? Cedric Alexander?
Yeah.
Cedric the Alexander.
Yeah. Shanti the Adonis.
Yeah. Maybe they're on main event. What are they doing?
Probably. I don't have Hulu. Does anyone have Hulu? Oh. What's on main event?
I do. That's how I watch Level Up.
Oh.
Not on delay.
Oh. Yeah.
Although I missed last week's Level Up. I got to check that out.
Oh, come on, man. You missed. That was a good one.
I heard it was good.
Yeah. Bryn St. Clair. I mean, she's on there. That's like her and Dante Chen. It's like, they're there every week. One of them is there.
Yeah. No, I feel you. Grace Wall and Austin Theory look big time together now. Like, I think they're in the zone. Flobo left in protest of that statement.
Crash my browser. I guess they heard me out.
George, what do you think about Austin and Grayson?
It's got a lot of Miz and Morrison vibes. Granted, I think Miz and Morrison are one of the most underrated tag teams that ever existed in the 21st century. So these guys just flow together. These guys just go together really well. And yeah, I'm all for, and I'm predicting it now. I think they're going to be the ones that head on to WrestleMania to be in the ladder match.
Okay.
Maybe even winning the ladder match.
Oof. Wow. Well, but you feeling them as champs?
A-Town Down?
Yeah.
A-Town Down Under?
Down Under.
No, because if anything, I still don't know what Austin Theory wants to do. And Grayson Waller has already proven that he can carry a segment. He can talk and he can sew and he gets beat up, which pretty much makes him invaluable. So I'm gonna say I hate tag team wrestling, but when the combination is so different, you wonder why are they together? Like, why would I train with somebody who has this level of star power?
You don't like tag team wrestling?
No, see, I'm not saying I don't. I'm just saying we have people who are so different.
That's what you said.
No. I mean, I like it, but I'm kind of like,
I think they complement each other quite well.
Will it be better, Flobo? Will it be better if they have like matching tights or like a t-shirt to make it official?
I think their personalities are too similar, but Grayson Waller has more charisma. This reminds me when Braun Strowman teamed with Ricochet. Like, when they walked down the ramp, they look like miniature versions of each other. But frankly, they're almost too similar for me to care about them collectively. You know,
too similar.
As far as like the bald head and the beard and the yeah, look at my muscles. But yeah, the moves.
The style was very different.
Yeah, but what I guess I'm saying is it's a very fine line between being so different it doesn't work or so together it almost seems like a clone of each other. You know what I mean? I think that A-Town Down is too similar, but Grayson Waller is way more charismatic, even though Austin Theory has and it's a shame, but the body. I mean, he's more abs than anyone else in that ring that time.
So. The most abs. So they won tonight in a pretty
whatever, Lobo. They won.
George, you know, now that you say it, I want to see them as champs. I think they will have a very fun reign as tag team champions.
I think so too. I mean, I think it's going to really add a lot. I really hate when they kind of do this. They just kind of give it the belts to people because they need it. But it would do so much for that package. Like, just them coming out as champions every week. I think it's going to be must see TV. It's going to make them even bigger heels.
Mm. Yeah, I can see that. And in Raw, who's in contention still?
You have.
That's off the top of my head. Is it Alpha Academy? Are they in that one?
No, they lost.
Oh, okay.
Awesome Truth.
And DIY.
Right.
I mean, Awesome Truth and Judgment Day, that right there is a Mania match.
Yeah.
I mean, you just do it with them because R-Truth's got some of the most long-term storytelling.
Do you think they're going to do some kind of thing, I guess, where they're going to find a way to split the titles at Mania, where
they,
like,
should. Maybe
one team grabs a Raw and the other team grabs the SmackDown belts?
I think that would be amazing.
Dumb.
We titles, bro.
Yeah, I get that, but you put four titles on a ladder, and someone's gonna grab one at once. And
yeah, and you know what? They're mismatched. So that way, it's like R-Truth then for a week has to team with Austin Theory as the Austin Truth.
No, I say dumb. It seems it's going to happen. Like I think that's the reason why there's so many bodies there. But I just think that, man, I kind of wish that them either splitting it or just unifying them and not have the two title sets.
Yeah, and bring back the NXT Women's Tag Team titles.
I'm with that. Yeah, Dusty Cup. Is that happening
so
for ladies?
There's so much female talent in NXT. Or they need a North American Women's Championship.
But they're incorporating the current tag team champions to go to NXT, though.
No world of plausible deniability is anyone think an NXT team is beating the Kabuki Warriors for those tag titles.
You say that now, but I think Shawn Michaels is watching right now and say challenge accept.
The Izzy Dame hate is pretty heavy there, Glenn. Wow.
You think, okay, but wow. Austin's not eating the pin. I'll guarantee that. I don't know, man. I don't know. But North American Women's Championship in NXT, that is long overdue.
Would you call it that?
Yeah, because they have a North American Men's Championship.
Fair enough.
Right? I mean,
it's not a wrong answer. I'm just curious.
Yeah. Something. Io Sky took on Naomi tonight, but first she was backstage beating up Bayley.
She should have been watching her back. That's all I got to say. Watch your back, Bayley.
Wow. Yeah.
I just love that we've had people be late to the ring because they were getting beat up. I can't remember the last time someone was late to the ring because they were beating someone else up.
That's a great observation. That's a good point.
Yeah, that is some heel ass right there. Like,
especially because, like, we're so accustomed to, like, if somebody's not walking out, like, oh, watch your back, Naomi. It should have been Bayley that should have been watching her back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what'd you think of this match?
It was great.
Yeah, both of us.
Great. Match of the night. Loved it. Of course, Io Sky has to be protected, and Naomi has to eat another loss. I think she lost three in a row. But here's the deal. Yeah. I wonder about... It seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong, that Bayley is going to win the championship at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
Do we think that Io Sky's run is a bit of a bust because she's been castled the entire time? She's behind the group of the Kabuki Warriors, or is that a strength for her run? You know?
I think she's going to be more made at the end of this, but I don't think she ever reached the heights of her potential.
I agree. I'm with you. But match was great. Solid.
I thought it was great too. It's one of those things where I think it's going to be a great preview of what to see in the future. I think Io Sky is going to retain the title, and I would like to make that bet, Floba.
Really?
Make it official. Yes, absolutely. I think Io Sky is going to retain, and I think we're going to see a lot more title defenses, especially against Naomi. I'd like to see what these two can do on a PLE. And if anything, we know Naomi / Trinity in the past year, She definitely had the nice shine and glow, I guess you could say, on many TNA pay-per-views. And I like to see the continue that kind of momentum on these the
puns,
WWE.
I swear to God, the puns.
Get the glow like Bruce Leroy.
And I'm showing up.
And I love the finish. I love the finish. I love, you know, yes, Naomi lost, but it wasn't a clean loss. And I can we make predictions on what's going to happen next week? Because I was kind of expecting it for it to happen this week.
Yeah. Go for it.
I think it's going to lead up to a damage control up against Bianca, Naomi, and Jade Cargill at WrestleMania.
Wait, why would Jade even give a damn about anyone that's happening right now? And Tiffany Stratton, why would she even care if any of those things are happening?
Because it's the women's division. You want to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Okay, but they're above, they're below me. I just told you I'm the blueprint. I told you I'm the next level.
So if you're Jade Cargill, how do you showcase your greatness? You want to go after
get into a multi-woman tag team match, that's for sure. What would I do that for?
Well, plus it's WrestleMania. You want to be on the WrestleMania card. But any opportunity you have to showcase your ability to be on that big stage, you're going to take advantage of it.
Right, but you've already told me that I'm going to be debuting at SmackDown. I'm already telling people I'm the best there is. I'm going to go out there and make the moment about me, right? Especially when you have Mercedes signing on AEW. You wouldn't just put her in a tag team match. That'd be kind of a waste opportunity, no?
So do you not have her at WrestleMania then?
I probably would have her in the crowd or have her really? As an appearance, but I wouldn't have her in a match. She debuts next week.
What yeah, but why would she show up next week if she's not doing something in Mania? You'd save it for the after Mania.
Her first match is already an attraction. WrestleMania is an attraction. You don't have to put that there. You need something for a backlash. You need something for the SmackDown after Mania.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah. I think they're going to hotshot something for Mania. The six-woman tag is okay. Is Asuka doing all right? She was pulled off house shows due to an injury. Tonight, she wasn't as physically active. Yeah,
she didn't get too physical. I mean, she was there. I mean, obviously, we've seen a lot of times when people got injuries, they just kind of keep them away in general. Yeah. So the fact that maybe she did do a little bit says a lot. But I still want to go on Flobo. So what's going to be Bianca? Is it maybe just keep it as a tag then? Kabuki Warriors versus Bianca and Naomi then?
Okay. I'll buy it. I don't like it, but I'll buy it.
But I'm saying, like, you just don't want Jade to be a part of some multi-person tag.
It's not even that. I just don't imagine you make the whole deal of saying, here's a promo, and they gave her the Bron Breakker promo treatment. It was kind of weird. But she came out and said, I'm the next big thing, and she goes right into a tag match. Makes no sense to me. If it happens a month from now or 2 months from now, whatever. But it's my first time on a show, knowing full well Mercedes got a whole different, like, time to be on the microphone, and I'm basically the answer to Mercedes. I'm not going to get myself into a tag match off the rip.
But what if, like, they make it a big deal? Like, you have, like, obviously it's 3-2. You have Naomi and Bianca wanting an extra person. Isn't it a big deal for them to come to her and say, hey, listen, Jade, like, you know, we know you're here. We know that you want to make a big impact. We need you. We need you more than you need us. Will you join us for WrestleMania?
The match will sell tickets. I question the logic. I just still question the inside in world logic of the Jade Cargill character. But if someone's like, we're making it happen, brother, then it's fine. Like, I'm not going to boo it.
No, of course. I'm just trying to make it make sense.
I mean, it's WWE. Like,
fair.
They're trying. I'm not saying they're trying to make it make sense. I mean, if this was obviously 3 years ago, it'd already be a thing. But, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dylan Matthews, Australian 299, saying over under the 5 titles change across NXT and Mania.
Oof.
I mean, Tony D'Angelo is winning that NXT championship.
No, he's not.
I think it's going to be transitional, unfortunately, because I think Trick's going to take it very quickly thereafter.
He is not winning it.
I don't think D'Angelo is winning it.
I'm going to say the under.
Okay.
I'm saying the under.
Across both shows. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it usually be a 0.5, so I'm assuming he's saying 5.5, so I'll say the under. But if he's just saying 5, I'm gonna say the under too. I'm thinking 4 titles will change.
I mean, if Cody wins, tag titles change. In theory, they could change twice.
Mm-hmm.
Bailey wins. I don't know. I mean, I think we get to 5. That just means 1 in NXT.
I think Rhea retains.
Yeah,
Rhea retains. Oba Femi retains. I think Dragunov retains.
I think Dragunov retains. I think Roxanne wins. Roxanne beats Lyra. Yeah, I mean, I'd say five, so I'd go. I guess I'd go with the under.
Oh, and Dylan copped out of his own question. He said five flat. That wasn't even an option. Over, under five. I choose five.
What? Coin toss. Gonna just land on its side. Like that Twilight Zone episode. You can hear everyone's thoughts. Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. So damage control beat up Naomi after. Missed in the face. They're keeping it going. Pretty Deadly was backstage talking to Kevin Owens and Nick Aldis, trying to get in to a tag team match. And Randy Orton arrived. I liked Randy Orton being super polite to Pretty Deadly, even though he's going to be in a match against them next week.
Yeah. I love Goofy Randall. He's cool.
Yeah. I like Goofy Kevin. Yeah. Just the whole, like, just his, like, demeanor. I think this is where he's at his best, where, you know, even like, oh, look, Randy, like, see what I did. Like, it's just like a little kid, but I loved it. I loved it. Kind of reminds me of, like, when he was with Jericho on, like, they would just kind of go back and forth with each other. And, mm-hmm. yeah, this is one of my favorite KOs. And I'm hoping that we kind of see a little bit more. I don't want to say dissension, but obviously they're both going to be going after a common goal at WrestleMania. So, you know, maybe it makes for the story where they're all going to be buddy-buddy up until WrestleMania, and we end up seeing Logan Paul retain out of everything, you know, after everything.
Yeah, it was a fun little backstage segment.
They had a point, though, Pretty Deadly. They were like, we don't even have a match. Like, yeah, hold on. Aldis, what's going on?
And they lost!
But what I'm saying is that's why they interrupt KO, which is why it made sense, logical sense. It was like, shut up, KO. We have more important issues, and KO gets mad.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
AJ Styles was sitting down with WWE's digital team, and LA Knight showed up outside his house. Okay. Flobo, what'd you think of this?
I don't know what the match you're going to have has to be sponsored by like Expedia or something, because AJ went to Australia. LA Knight's going to his house. Like, can no one handle their problems at work? Like, what the hell was that about?
George,
sometimes you just can't wait until Friday, Flobo. Sometimes when you got the access that you do, when you got the money that you're able to, when you got the miles racked up to fly over to Georgia, you're gonna do what you gotta do to get revenge on the guy that cost you the opportunity to go to WrestleMania for the WWE Championship. Like, you know,
I want to see LA Knight being like, look. Promised my significant other we were gonna use these miles and go to Hawaii, but I've got other business to settle. How much extra for business class? Okay, LA Knight's got the miles. Let's make it work.
And I like. I said nah. Today, yeah.
I like the execution more of the actual angle. I liked. I was never a big fan of like. I get it. I get it. It's movies, pal. But it's like. I kind of like when they acknowledge the cameras. So I kind of like that they said, hey, we had our cameras here at AJ Styles' house to do something. And then, you know, you had they acknowledge, you know, hey, and then the police cam happened to pick up the stuff with LA Knight. So I like that they added that kind of realism to it instead of just kind of like, what cameras? You know, you're in a movie. You're not supposed to acknowledge the cameras.
But all the yelling and shouting and the police, like, look, this was a distant third after Samoa Joe and AJ Styles.
Appearance by Wendy, by the way.
Yes, and not as good as Dominic crashing Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah,
that was amazing.
Yeah,
it was better than the Triple H storming into Randy Orton's house with his fake wife.
Yeah,
Rollins and Edge, right?
Yeah, I was gonna say the Edge thing. Yeah, they go back to this well every year, it seems like. It was fine. It could be a great match, but as a feud builder, I didn't think this got me more hyped for it. In fact, it was weird to see LA Knight just sort of out in the wild. You're so used to seeing him in an arena with the crowd so behind him.
Yeah. I think it's the fact that it's like, you know, February or March in a muscle shirt. It kind of feels like a gimmick. You know,
if you were in March in a muscle
shirt. Like, he was wearing like sweats and some boots or something. It made sense. But he's kind of like, yeah, I'm off the gym, hopping the Uber, AJ Styles house, please. Yeah. And
listen, brother, when you got it, you show it.
I mean, true. It's facts.
Okay. So, Final Testament. The Authors of Pain took on the Street Profits tonight.
Best match tonight.
It's good, but man. The Final Testament was supposed to be this big thing. They were really pushing this. They got shirts. They went on Fiverr and bought that icon to make the cross with the T and the F.
Minimum price entry. Right. Oof. Well, George, let me ask you a question. What is the Final Testament? Do you know? Because I'm trying to figure this out.
Is it Psalms?
I don't know. There's no right answers.
I don't know. I don't got my Bible in front of me right now.
Okay.
I'm with Glenn. The guy needs to shave his head. The guy needs to bring the goatee back because a lot of people care.
Karrion Kross, as a fictional character, has not worked in WWE. It doesn't matter what hairstyle Karrion Kross
has. In NXT, he worked.
No, he did not. Don't give me that.
Great in NXT.
No. His entrance was great in NXT. The Hourglass was great. Scarlett was amazing. But no one was like, Samoa Joe sliced him to shreds on the microphone and beat him.
You don't know what you have until it's like not there.
Yeah.
Right. So we didn't really think about it because he just looked like a badass mofo.
No,
right.
He didn't.
But yes, he did.
No,
with
he
the
didn't.
With the bald head and the goatee. And then you realize, like, wait, the guy's growing his hair out. Like, he didn't this, he doesn't look as badass. He just looks like another jabroni.
Yeah, he's starting to look like Gary Oldman or Gary Sinise in Reindeer Games. Like, it's just not, it's not as menacing. Gary Sinise thought in Reindeer Games he looked menacing, but he didn't really look that menacing.
Like, imagine Stone Cold Steve Austin growing out his hair. Like, it just wouldn't look the same.
You did not compare Karrion Kross
to the greatest of all time. I'm comparing the bald head and the goatee.
No, it doesn't matter. Look, everyone who says he worked is looking at his entrance, but no one can remember two of his moves because one of them is a hiatus suplex or whatever. He never worked in NXT. TNA, I'll give it to you.
But Lucha Underground, he was dope too.
Sure, I'll give you that as well. But as soon as he got into the Florida and Stanford system, it's always been a guy playing a guy. And I know the guy who plays Karrion Kross is probably a fantastic fellow, but I don't know what it is.
He really is. Universe.
I don't know.
He really, really is a fantastic fellow.
But I'm saying the fictional humor character,
too, by the way.
Yeah.
The
fictional he's really intelligent, too.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. The fictional character Karrion Kross does not work. The Final Testament does not work. It doesn't.
Do you think he should bring back the mask and the skirt?
I think
all of it is not working. I think all of it's a failure. I do think a repackage or reboot is ready for him.
Or release, apparently.
I'm not saying release the guy, because he apparently has a good body and a good crew, and he can do what he wants. And everyone seems to love him. I'm saying is, let's say we're reading wrestling as a novel, which we don't do. As a character, I've never understood his motivation. I never said what makes him tick, no pun intended. It's always, I'm taking you out. Why? Because TikTok, and never a conclusion for years. He took out AJ Styles for no reason. And now he's going after Bobby Lashley, and he never said why. I can't buy into that.
The novel now is being written by the authors of Pain.
Maybe we'll get a satisfying conclusion. I hate this job.
But AOP, they've been like signed for a year and a half back in WWE. And clearly, I mean, Final Testament feels like a Triple H project. I'm just assuming. But it's weird that Lashley and the Street Profits, who look so money together, these guys have so much star power. But again, we don't know their purpose, their modus operandi. So them getting the win tonight, it's just interesting sometimes because AOP, this is a qualifying match, and AOP couldn't even get a squash qualifying match to just give them this is what makes me feel like it's DOA, is that if you can't even win the qualifying match, like they should have just smashed an NXT team or somebody just to make us think that AOP is at least getting something.
I think that they're going to cost Lashley and Street Profits the return match later on. Okay. Because they qualify for the next round. I think they get the receipt there, and then it has a blow-off match eventually. But like I said, that makes sense logically. But again, if I don't know, because Bobby Lashley and Street Profits were kind of heelish, kind of faces to begin with, and this happens, I'm like, who do I root for? What does everyone want? Is it a personal
vendetta?
Okay, I'm not. Yeah. All right, you get the idea.
Yeah.
I do get where you're coming from, though. I think there's a little bit of a misconnect, and I think the biggest misconnect is the hair.
But you know who's so committed to the bit are Scarlett and Paul Ellering. Mm-hmm. But it just still looks like a group of people waiting for a bus. Like, they don't look like a faction, even wearing all the same shirts.
Right.
Yeah.
Are they biblical? Is there a no?
It's the Final Testament.
Right, but do they quote scripture? Like, is it a thing? Like, I don't know. Okay.
You can't call it the Final Testament without having to be a biblical.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know any scriptures. It's never quoting anything. I don't know. Are they Christian characters? Like, are they anti-Christian characters?
That's true. They should have some more promos, you know, come up with their own Ezekiel 25:17 or something. Something.
Ezekiel 25. I mean, that's pretty much it. Like, honestly, that probably would help a lot if, like, Karrion Kross is the kind of person that just lays down some like wicked monologue before it just beats you up. Like, it probably would be like an upgrade.
Give me something.
Like, it's just like, oh, you know, it's like, it just, you know, I just needed something cold-blooded to say before I whoop your ass.
I'll take it. I'm all about that.
Yeah,
it's a good idea, Glenn.
Something. Although now that I can't unsee it, ever since I was like, they remind me now of the ragtag group of energy vampires and Dr. Sleep. I'm just like, that's what the Final Testament reminds me of. Dr. Sleep, such an underrated movie. I haven't seen it. Sequel to The Shining. that they made like 40 years later, because that makes all the sense in the world. But it's
like Bambi 2. Have you seen Bambi 2?
Tell that to Beetlejuice.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Okay, let's talk about this main event segment. If you like entrances, boy, was this. Like, I was thinking during this, I was like, do we need the full entrance every week of Roman, of Cody? Like, this was a lot of entrances, man.
Right. Got to warm up for WrestleMania's entrance, you know?
You got to do it. I mean, when it's Roman, you got to do it.
Yeah. I like that he waited to ask everyone to acknowledge him. But at first, I thought he was being humble. I was like, ooh, Roman's coming out and being human, you know? Kind of nice.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it is a little weird, like, because, like, I want to say the segment started like around 7 or 6:30 ish. Like, you had Roman commercial break, or right before the commercial break, Cody walking to the ring, and the commercial break, then Cody coming out. It's like, man, like, they really had to do it like this, huh?
Yeah. No Rock this week, just Roman faced by Cody, and they're exchanging words, and it was kind of. It was a very nuanced and almost reasonable dialogue they had compared to The Rock saying Cody, he was a mistake. Also, I don't know about y'all, but I was like, where's my Friday affirmations from The Rock on social media today?
The 8-minute promos?
Yeah, where was The Rock saying F your story on social media today, talking about his goofy dog?
See, Karen Cross, that's how it's done.
Yeah. Yeah. No. So, you know, and Cody talking about Seth and the Shield and Team Rhodes beating the Shield, giving them the first high profile loss. It was interesting. But even Roman saying, like, you're the number two, but I'm not saying that like it's a bad thing. You know, it was interesting. George, what do you think about this more? Thoughtful debate these two guys had tonight compared to what we've seen in the last month.
I liked it. I mean, overall, I thought it was, obviously you couldn't really kind of go full speed every single week, because then you'll have nothing left for maybe the last couple weeks. I thought on paper, I thought they hit a home run, like, you know, obviously scripts, blah, blah, blah. I thought it felt good. It looked good. But I feel like just some of the execution production-wise maybe was a bit of a miss as far as the timing goes with maybe some of the snaps. But I thought the words were fine. I thought the promos were fine. You know, no need to kind of, you know, turn it up all the way up, like I mentioned. It was a nice reminder that Cody and Roman is the actual main event of WrestleMania. I think it was just kind of there serving that purpose that, you know, don't forget that these guys are the main event of Night 2.
Yeah. Flobo, did this make you more hype for the match?
No. Had this happened 2 weeks later, had this been the night before, I'm like, oh, you're great. All the elements, oh, if you added The Rock, of course. Oh, great. All the elements are there. The sneak attack didn't happen, the stalemate, the everything. But this tonight came after a couple weeks of shows ending the same. So it kind of felt like a holding pattern. It kind of felt like you're playing GM mode and you have like that high level rivalry that you need to blow off, but your PLE is literally in 2 weeks. So you'd say, all right, everyone's cutting promos. That's exactly what happened here today. I get it, but I wish I would have had one more match. It would be great.
Yeah.
You mean one more match for SmackDown?
Yeah. It was a match like between the Street Profit match and this, and maybe cut in half or a third, I think I've been better.
Oh, we could have easily gotten two more matches in the time these entrances took tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was interesting at the end, though. So what they tried to do, so they had their debate, and then you saw Solo, and you saw Jimmy, and then you saw Jay and Seth enter on Cody's side. Like, yeah, the timing wasn't perfect. The framing of the shots was a little awkward. Like, I get what they were trying to do in this cinematic build towards the you know, faction wars, for lack of a better term, that they're building across Mania. But, yeah, I just thought they didn't quite stick the landing at the end. And, unfortunately, the production's been so on point lately. Mm-hmm. It's been so good that when they don't quite nail something, it messes with my enjoyment of the rhythm.
You know? It did feel weird, especially like Roman did, like, you know, he like a snap of his fingers, but like to a lot of people that from it being live, like, are you supposed to kind of see that, notice that? Like, I feel like it wasn't, it was good for the audience, for the somewhat for the people at home, but what about for the people in where they were at? So it's like, then you had those guys, and especially they're coming in from the crowd, so it's kind of like the people were reacting like differently. It's like, oh, I noticed Jimmy Uso and Solo coming down. Oh, and then like 5 seconds later, it's like, oh, I noticed Jimmy and Solo coming down. So it was just kind of a weird like domino effect of like people's reactions. And I don't think it really, you know, and then you started hearing people cheering more when obviously they saw Jay and Seth coming. Yeah, just the execution of it. On paper, it was good, but the actual execution of both the timing and the production, I think was a little off, where it kind of, you know, didn't really end with such a bang like it did the last couple weeks.
I liked, though, and I have to give them credit for this, I like that unlike most promos that are, oh yeah, well, this is who you are and this is who I am and you think this and you think that and all heated, this seemed like a thoughtful, reasoned debate with points and counterpoints. It felt like a more cerebral dialogue. Mm-hmm. I like that. I don't know that the average wrestling fan that loves The Rock up there with his one-liners and stuff, like, I'm curious how this resonates with people that like the more just smash mouth.
The punchlines.
Yeah, punchline promos. You know,
I think you hit the nail on the head because you got that literally 7 days prior. So you had that. You tune into this, you're like, oh, okay. You know, where's The Rock coming back? Lightning bolts.
Like, it's one of those, like, as a viewer on the TV, I feel like it was fine, but if I was there in person, I'd feel like, wait, that's it?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have at least like a dark match, right?
Yeah, like, make fun of his dog, make fun of his mom, do something. Yeah.
Make fun of his mom.
Bring out Wilmer and let's do Yo Mama and bring that back.
Wow.
Oh, wow. That's a throwback. Do you think at some point The Rock's going to maybe bring up, like, are they intentionally not including Brandi Rhodes at all? Do you think? Is she going to get brought in at some point?
I don't think you mention her unless she's showing up. Mm-hmm. That seems like a weird...
I just want her to come out and talk about how it'd be an open fight night. Or open mic night.
Yeah. But here's the problem. You can't do that without having Brandi get involved. And she's so good on the mic. And she's so good when she's got that fire in her. It's going to make... and I can't believe I'm about to use this term. It's going to make Cody look... this is WWE's perception, not my language. Some people in WWE probably think that's going to make him look beta male. To have Brandi going toe-to-toe on the mic with the Rock. But, oh, Cody's feelings get hurt. And he slaps... doesn't even punch the Rock. He slaps him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's Maybe that's why we're not seeing or any mention of Brandi, you know, so far.
Backlash coming soon.
I mean, she's too good in that one-on-one situation, don't you think? Like, I'm more excited about seeing Brandi and The Rock go toe-to-toe on the mic than I am seeing Cody and The Rock ever have a face-off in the ring ever again.
But yeah, but I think you brought up a good point too, where it's like they don't want to get the impression that Cody can't fight his own battles.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it's different when you have Solo and Jimmy involved, because now you have an excuse to bring on Jay and Seth. So yeah, there is that kind of dynamic. Plus, like, you know, it's wrestling. Like, it's kind of, kind of assuming that's something that already kind of comes with the territory. Like, you know, you want to get personal, let's get personal. And just maybe there's not really that need to have Brandi Rhodes involved, or Eden Styles was her Eden Styles. Previous WWE name.
That is a deep cut.
Wow. Yeah. Going back. I like tonight, and shout out to Roman for making this point in debate. She's like, what are you running for, governor or something? Like, anyone's kid here want a photo, an autograph? I mean, they do, I like him pointing out like that he's doing audience politicking to make himself the face of the company. That was fun to see Roman acknowledge that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I'm 100%, man. I love it.
Yeah.
I think the thing about Roman Reigns' promos is that everything serves a purpose. Like, there's no wasted breath in whatever he says. That's why it's kind of, you know, and maybe it has something to do with him being there every other month. Obviously now WrestleMania season, he's there a lot more. But, you know, when he is on the mic, he kind of everything serves its purpose and everything has a meaning. So it kind of makes you listen to exactly every word that he's saying.
Yeah. Fulber, to you first. Any final thoughts on tonight's SmackDown?
I kind of wish WrestleMania was next week. We have one more week in between that, so I'm kind of to see who fills out the SmackDown tournament bracket, that the thing that Raw didn't decide to do, which is kind of interesting. That match is already, I'm already sold for that one alone. I hope that LA Knight and AJ Styles gets a stipulation. Maybe Boneyard, who knows?
I'm in. Probably not Boneyard.
Oh, come on, Glad Boo.
I mean, if we're gonna have a cinematic match in Philadelphia, it's gotta be on the Rocky steps, right?
Yeah, put that in there.
Man, I hope Stallone does something, given that like Cody has talked about how like watching the Rocky movies has been some one of his biggest source of inspiration in recent years.
He's Stallone totally gonna do the intro.
Yeah. I mean, he will, but I mean, someone should do something really goofy, like come out with Chad Gable or something.
Oh, no, you know what they'll do goofy? They'll show Cody's thing last year, and then they'll get Stallone with Cody on the Rocky steps, and Stallone's doing the Sunshine and Rainbow speech from Rocky Balboa.
Oh, yeah, I call it Rocky Six, but oh, yeah, I'm in it.
Yeah,
that's how Wooden is doing, Cody.
Off that speed. Love that movie. Mm-hmm. If you say, I'll watch that over any Rock. Like, that is my favorite movie.
It's my favorite Rocky movie as well.
And plus, yeah, it's got the best wrestling name, Mason the Lion Dixon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hands down. Oh, wow. So man, are we agreeing on something for a change? This is great. You're having a moment.
Rocky Six is so good.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny,
somebody being that good. Sorry.
It's funny. Somebody in the chat said Brandy at Mania for a reason, for a second, because it was spelled differently. I was like, Brandy the singer? You want her to do like the national anthem,
sitting
America
up
the Beautiful?
In my room.
Yeah.
Sitting up
do we get LL? Room. Do we get LL for the remix?
Something like a phenomenon.
Yeah. You know what's weird? I didn't realize that LL was only on the remix of Sitting Up in My Room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I heard the regular version. I was like, where's LL?
The regular one is a cookout classic.
Brandy, she did her remixes right. You know, I Want to Be Down with Queen Latifah, Yo-Yo, and MC Light. RIP Yo-Yo.
Wait, Yo-Yo passed away?
Yeah, Yo-Yo the rapper.
When did this,
a week and a half ago?
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Under the IBWC. Mm-hmm. Man. I'm bummed. I watched The Unsung about Yo-Yo like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. It was so good. And talk about Ice Cube like putting her over.
On that one song, Bonnie and Clyde theme.
Well, not only that, but on It's Man's World, on the Cube album, then doing Bonnie and Clyde, Can't Play With My Yo-Yo. He really represented and elevated her. And I thought that was always so cool.
Speaking of which, I'm surprised that Ice Cube Jr. Never wanted to kind of get involved with pro wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, he's talking about it all the time.
Yeah, be like, hey, man, can I be involved? I'll bring my dad on to do, wrap somebody out to the ring or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Okay, I'm checking Yo-Yo's Wikipedia page. I'm not sure.
She's alive. I don't know why. She's not dead.
No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Boss. Boss was the one that passed away. I'm sorry. I apologize for anybody that
I thought
got
you
a little,
were deadpanning. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I apologize. I'm a little
upset about this now too. You're just bringing me down tonight because I'm having flashbacks.
No, it was Boss. Her
spot on the AMG record. Like my sister is a B, and then as a kid, I'm like, whoa, that's really AMG's sister? No, not really AMG's sister. Boss is like one of the great what ifs of hip hop though, because she dropped that first record that was fire and was everywhere, and then no real major follow-up.
George, how'd you manage to drop two bombs in the same episode? Yeah, you said that. Nah, I'm just kidding. It's actually sorry. Boss.
No,
good night, everybody.
I apologize to the Yo-Yo fans, but it was Boss that unfortunately passed away. Man, we're gonna go down the 90s hip hop
and AMG's AMG's debut record is near flawless. Maybe a little aged poorly and outdated in some of its viewpoints, but banger after banger on that. But Boss was a huge deal for female gangster rap.
Yeah. Especially during that time where it's kind of really non-existent in some ways, you know?
Yeah, I mean it was Rage.
Lady of Rage.
Yeah, Lady of Rage.
Everyone, MC Light. Queen Latifah was a pioneer.
Well, although not really in the gangsta category, though. Queen Latifah is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Man. Now I'm bummed out.
Sorry.
So, good everybody.
Paramount Plus put up a bunch of classic episodes of YoMTV Raps. It's not always complete. heavily edited, and sometimes they have the videos that were originally in the episode, and sometimes they replace it. Like, you watch an episode where like James Brown stopped by the studio, and then they're showing like Shimmy Shimmy Y'all in the video. It's like, that, no, this James Brown thing happened in 92. You can't show that. Right. It makes no sense.
Yeah. It's like, respect the authenticity of it, you know?
They have the episode, just be like, though,
yeah, I was gonna say, just be like in Living Color, where you just, if you can't play it, just cut it out of the DVD release.
Yeah. Yeah. They have the episode though with NWA and both Dr. Dre's together in the same place. But no, and then Fat Five Freddy, and they're on the truck rolling through Compton.
Speaking of NWA, I have like a tiny, like a Mark story, right?
Yeah, please.
A Marky story, or story where it's like, I was in elementary school, and there was like a after school, like the after school counselor, you know, whatever supervisor was like talking about NWA, right? And I walk in, and I was like, little kid, right? 6 or 7 years old. And I'm like, you know, it's not called the NWA anymore. They're called WCW now. Like, I was that much of a wrestling mark that I had no idea what NWA was, or I only knew NWA as a professional wrestling company or promotion or whatever it was, whatever it was called, right? You know, so I was like, and I look back at that, I'm like, wow, what a wrestling mark I was back in the day. Like, no idea what NWA was. I only knew them as wrestling.
See, I go the other way every time people talk about it. Oh, NWA is coming back, and I'm like, that thing they were going to talk reuniting with Snoop Dogg, because that's kind of weird.
Yeah, Bill Corgan's in it. What? Bill Corgan is hanging with Snoop Dogg?
That would be amazing. It's like, we got Dr. Dre, MC Ren, DJ Yella, and Billy Corgan.
Dude, Straight Outta Compton is literally one of my favorite movies of all time.
I mean, a little revisionist about some things, but yes, yeah. It is, and it has got one of the best endings. When there's pumping it and you go on to see what everybody did after, mm-hmm. like, it's one of the most triumphant endings yeah. of any movie ever. But I wish they would have. I mean, that movie, it's like how BET did the New Edition story over three nights, mm-hmm. you know, like that NWA thing, like that could have been like easily a 10-hour streaming series.
Yeah. And I love, speaking of O'Shea, like, I love the no Vaseline scene. The no Vaseline scene. I was like, man, that was great cinema right there.
Probably one of the best diss tracks ever. I was Facebook friends with Jerry Heller before he died.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Keep meaning to read his autobiography. I'm very curious his perspective on everything.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. I remember after that movie came out, like, everybody kind of knew who he was, but in a negative way, right? So, like, there's so much more to that story that, like, just more than what the movie portrayed.
Yeah. And why was there no JJ Fad cameo? Because that was like the big Ruthless Records hit.
I'm my life dream, my life goal is to be able to karaoke the singing hit a baby D. I'm like,
oh my, like, okay, that's impossible.
I'm some like that's my life goal, is to be able to karaoke that part of the song.
You guys are old.
You're not familiar with Supersonic, Flobo?
Don't put me in a trick question situation there, Glenn. Because if I say yes, I'm old as well.
How come they never did like a, if this was today, they'd totally have like an NWA merch with like the NWO writing. Now that I'm looking at Flobo's hat, or vice versa, like the old school, the NWA, but in, you know, but it says NWO instead. If this was like indie wrestling, that'd totally be like one of the top sellers.
I'll get them over here.
There's so many. Okay, so here's what this we're talking about. So I'm going to go even older on this. And my dream, and I might do this in retirement. Like, because if no one else does this, somebody needs to produce a 2-hour documentary about the Roxanne Wars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm with that. Sure.
Yeah. There's the episode of Beef. You don't know about the Roxanne Wars? Mm-hmm. Okay, so UTFO comes out with a song called Roxanne, Roxanne. And it's all them. It's all UTFO, Dr. Ice, Kangol Kid, et cetera, et cetera. Talk, like, picking up on a girl. So what happens is UTFO, I guess, flaked on a concert, and a local DJ was like, oh, we want to throw some shade at UTFO. And so a young lady by the name Shantae takes on the moniker Roxanne Shantae and releases a record called Roxanne's Revenge, where it's her responding to each guy in UTFO and dissing them. That record gets so popular, UTFO says, we need to do our own version of that record. And they trot out a model and a studio vocalist that they write the rhymes, and they call her the real Roxanne. Now, if you're on the East Coast, Roxanne's Revenge was big. If you're on the West Coast, the real Roxanne was big. Just weird how that worked. I know the real Roxanne by heart because I grew up on the West Coast.
Oh wow! Yeah, I'm looking at Wikipedia. Like this, for whatever reason, I've like never heard of this at all.
Okay, you've never. Well, okay. Then it gets even better. Then more people start releasing records. Like, we're Roxanne's parents. Here's our song. Someone's like, I'm Roxanne's brother. A little girl puts out a record. I'm little Roxanne. People put out dance songs called Do the Roxanne. Like, it's crazy. This spawned more response records than any other record in popular music ever. And like helped solidify, I think, hip hop as like a mainstream music form.
Oh wow. Yeah. I need to see anything about this.
Yeah.
Well, if they do one, you need to be the guy in the documentary because you got so hype.
I'm so hyped for it. And my favorite.
And then under it, I'll say Glenn Rubenstein, UTFO expert.
Right.
No, and in fact, here's what I want to do, because here's my idea. I'm gonna give it to the people. I don't have time to do this. If I'm a rapper right now and coming out, you know what record I'm doing right now? I'm doing the son or daughter. I'm doing the child of Roxanne. And I'm releasing a new Roxanne record in 2024 about which member of UTFO hooked up with my mom, Roxanne, and made me. And then I'm turning into a Mamma Mia style Broadway musical and film. And maybe we get Meryl Streep to play Roxanne. Probably not going to find Jason Belcher, but it's just an idea.
Or Angela Bassett.
Yeah, I co-signed that. That'd be dope.
It's funny when you said Roxanne Wars, I'm like, what? Like, I'm thinking like the Police, and then like I remember fast forward to like Praz from the Fugees, like releasing like a Roxanne, version of the Roxanne.
Yeah, well, he did the remix with Sting, and he put in the Roxanne, because that's from UTFO. But yeah, I think the world is ready for Roxanne's baby, all grown up as an MC, trying to figure out which member. And the Kangol Kid unfortunately passed away. One of the things that brings me the most joy ever, like, you know, when you watch videos, for some people it's like, oh, surprise kitten or whatever. I love more than anything, there was a hip hop festival in Brooklyn like 10 years ago, and Kangol Kid comes out, he does his verse from Roxanne, and then Roxanne Shanté pops out and does her rebuttal, and they did it live together, and they're hugging after. Like, I cry just watching that every time. Yeah. Makes me so happy.
Yeah, I think she like got like paid for life through royalties and stuff. Like, she got to go to school for free and everything. It was great.
There was a Netflix movie called Roxanne about Roxanne Shanté. Not so much about the song, but good dramatization. And she grew up in the same complex as Nas. So the baby Nas in the movie. Yeah, little baby Nas talking to her.
I know this cute borough, but I'm in the same building.
So. Yeah. Well, there you go. A little history for y'all.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I'm glad we were able to talk a little bit of wrestling in this 80s hip hop show.
Friday night. Show. Yeah. I'm glad Yo-Yo's still alive.
Yeah.
Not glad that Boss isn't.
Right. We're going up, and then you just went right back down to where we were, man.
Poor Boss. This is the weird thing, just while we're talking about this. It's interesting that with wrestling and Gen X stuff, like, there's so much preservation of, like, WWE, like, is so high on their own revisionist history. Like, there's tons of documentaries and stuff preserving wrestling culture. There's stuff about every piece of pop culture that's out there. It is a little weird with hip hop that there's not more being done to preserve and tell the stories of the early days, like, you know, late 70s through early 90s in hip hop. That bums me out.
I think with music, especially hip hop, everything just moves so much quicker than everything else. Yeah. That like, yeah, it's easy to kind of forget the OGs, I guess you can say, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least not for us, obviously, but obviously with the newer generations, I don't know what they're called now, but the Gen TikTokers, whatever, you know, especially where it's like, it's not like, it, like, for example, like you have like if Lauryn Hill releases an album tomorrow, right? Like, it'd be the greatest thing, but it'd be like only hot for like a week or two because it's already like moving on to the next thing.
Yeah. Culture moves too fast now.
Yeah.
Blue Chew saying Cody Rhodes is the
no.
WWE. Cool. How's that work?
The jackets, man.
I mean, Grayson Waller looks like the love child of Vanilla Ice and Paul Walker.
Not Marty Wahlberg, as they call themselves, the indies.
Really? Oh, yeah.
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 Nice. Yeah. I mean, yeah, John Cena did play Vanilla Ice on Halloween.
That's true. And his career was
launched
because of that. A1A Beachfront Avenue. Everybody, have a great weekend. Thanks for hanging out with us. George, thank you for showing out tonight.
Of course. Thank you.
And I'm out next week. I'm out Tuesday and Friday. You'll be in good hands. Issa will be back. We're going to make it through. It's all going to be good. Cool, everybody. Have a great weekend. Go listen to Boss's debut record and her collaboration with AMG. It's quite good. Follow at G Hermosa. Hermosa with a Z. What was a football boy? I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. We'll catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.